Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's AEW and NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be covering the events of AEW Dynamite and NXT at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Once again, AEW narrowly beats NXT. Well, not terribly narrowly, but they do beat NXT in the ratings, despite the fact that AEW dropped a little bit. AEW came in at around 800 and some odd thousand. To the 700,000s for NXT, which makes it about 100,000 difference in total. AEW was down a little bit from last week. NXT was about the same. And really what this, I think, tells us is the following. After 17 weeks, I believe that's how long it is, we've kind of settled into how this is going to go. And truthfully, it's almost a draw. By the network standard, by USA versus TNT, it's not a draw. But really, it kind of is, because you have to understand that there are people who have the WWE Network who simply opt to watch NXT on the network. Next day. No big deal. And of course, if you add up the replays for AEW, that grows over the million mark usually, and that factors in. So what this is basically telling us is this. On first view, NXT is still the exciting new product, and NXT is still the product that the people are watching for the most part. There's not a lot of switchover type situations occurring. The NXT fans are staying put. The AEW fans are staying put. And this is what it's come to. Is right now there's a 100,000, a block of around 100,000 people who are opting to watch AEW instead of NXT. Whether they would watch NXT if AEW didn't exist, I don't know. Nobody really knows. I think it would be very interesting if someone were to actually poll the AEW crowd or the NXT crowd and ask them, if one of these shows were no longer on a Wednesday, would you find yourself watching the opposition? And see how many would say, no, I wouldn't watch any wrestling that night at all, and how many would say, yes, I would watch the opposing program. I really think that would be interesting to find out, because I'm starting to get to be of the opinion that AEW fans, for the most part, are AEW fans. And they may watch NXT here and there, or catch it here and there, but they're not glued to it. And the same holding true for NXT fans, where they may watch some highlights of AEW or see it on YouTube or whatever, but they're not enamored with it, and they're sticking with NXT. I really think there's a semi-separate fan base, which is odd for professional wrestling. So that's a question I really would love to have answered. Anyway, before we get started into the individual breaking down here a little bit of the shows, a couple of pieces of news. One is that following the Royal Rumble, there was a lot of speculation that Matt Riddle had a lot of heat on him for this quote-unquote altercation backstage with Brock Lesnar. Well, we found out exactly what the altercation consisted of, and it wasn't really an altercation. Brock Lesnar had apparently been told, because I doubt he goes on Twitter very much, or Instagram, he'd apparently been told that Matt Riddle had said, I'm going to be the guy that retires Brock Lesnar, and I want the Brock Lesnar fight, and basically going into business for himself. Which, if you know anything about wrestling, you don't do it. Now, whether Matt Riddle's trying to be in character, or well, I don't know what he's trying to do. But apparently Brock Lesnar decided, now that I have the chance and he's going to be here, I'm going to confront him about it. And according to eyewitnesses, Brock Lesnar approached Matt Riddle, put his hand on his shoulder to get his attention, to have him turn around, and said to him, "Kid, you can stop trying to build a program between the two of us because I'm not working with you. It's not going to happen now. It's never going to happen. We're never going to have a match together." To which apparently Matt Riddle just said, okay, and that was it. There was no real altercation or war of words. However, apparently NXT held a meeting in which they said, do not be basically doing things like this. Do not be targeting other wrestlers that you know you're not, or, you know, going into business for yourself, basically. Don't try to start feuds we're not starting for you. I didn't mention Matt Riddle by name. They didn't mention anybody by name, but from what I'm told, it drew some snickers and some laughter in the crowd because everybody knew. Everybody knew what they're talking about. Now, I find it very hard to believe there's any too much heat on Matt Riddle due to the fact that the Broserweights won the Dusty Classic. Now, would they punish Pete Dunne for something Matt Riddle did? Probably not. They think a lot of Pete Dunne. I know they think a lot of Pete Dunne, especially Triple H thinks a lot of Pete Dunne. But if you listen to some of the other wrestlers, Booker T even. Booker T advised Matt Riddle almost word for word verbatim what I said on this show on Monday, which is this is something you don't do. Because even if you're trying to promote your character, even if you're trying to just stay in character or build character, whatever you're going to do, you don't know Brock Lesnar. It's not like he's your buddy, okay? It's not like Kevin Owens is trying to stir up shit with Sami Zayn or Zack Ryder's trying to stir up shit with Curt Hawkins and they're both going back and forth trying to build a little something that maybe Vince or someone will say, oh, you know, they did a good job of that. Let's go ahead and book that. Matt Riddle does not know Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar has no interest in Matt Riddle, period. And for Matt Riddle to say, I think I'm going to start something. They know exactly what they're going to do with a guy like Brock Lesnar. And what Brock Lesnar sees it as is, here's a guy who thinks I need the rub from Brock Lesnar. If I can get in the ring with Brock Lesnar, then that makes me bigger than I am now. And he feels like he's being used. Anybody could do that. I mean, Zack Ryder could keep tweeting out, I'm the guy to defeat Brock Lesnar. I'm the one. It's me. Brock Lesnar's afraid of me. I have the exact skill set to beat Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't want nothing to do with me. Why bother? The WWE is not interested in the match. Brock Lesnar is not interested in the match. Why bother? Now, if Matt Riddle is friends with whoever and says, gee, I'd love to have a match together, and he says, yeah, let's get a little war going on social media, I don't see a problem with that. Booker T gave the example of Corey Graves, and he said, you know, when Corey Graves and I started that little tweet war, I called Corey Graves and said, let's keep this going. Maybe we'll both get a few more subscribers or listeners to our show, and it's something for the fans to talk about. But they knew each other, and they discussed it with each other. So if Matt Riddle had called up Brock Lesnar and said, hey, Brock, I'm going to be tweeting some things, so if you see some things, don't be surprised. Because I'm trying to get a match between us. Would you be interested in, you know, doing some business with me and making some money? And Brock Lesnar said, yeah, sure. Yeah, that would be great. You know, let's see if we can get something together. That's different. But when you just say, well, I don't know, who's the most over guy here? Who's the guy that if you beat him or if you're in the ring with him, you're going to get the most attention? That's Brock Lesnar. Okay. Then I'm just going to pick at it and pick at it and pick at it until maybe the fans will help me try to network myself to get to that spot. That's called trying to jump the line. That's called trying to take other people's spots. And that is not going to endear you. I'm telling you, it's not going to endear you to the locker room. It's just not. You don't think every other wrestler in NXT would love a shot at Brock Lesnar. You don't think that that would be the ultimate thing where they say, look, win, lose, or draw, if I'm in the ring with Brock Lesnar, all eyes are on me. Of course they'd want that. Every single one of them. So what makes Matt Riddle special? That he, oh, I'm going to do it myself. They don't want to book it. I'll just keep going on it until they have to book it. You think that doesn't piss off your bosses? You think that doesn't piss off the other wrestlers who say, I don't even know what the freak he's talking about. I don't know the guy. Well, it pissed off Brock Lesnar. And you would be surprised how many people said, oh, man, what a great, great match that would be if it was real, if it was in an MMA ring. So let me put this to bed for you. It would be a one-minute match if Matt Riddle was in peak condition and giving him the benefit of the doubt. If anyone there in their mind thinks Matt Riddle is the quality of MMA fighter that Brock Lesnar is, then you don't know much about MMA. Matt Riddle is a little bit better version of CM Punk. He can talk a great game. He has some skill. If Matt Riddle was qualified to beat a guy as good as Brock Lesnar, Matt Riddle would be in the MMA, making huge, huge, huge amounts of money. He would not be in NXT making fairly decent amount of money for somebody in his position. Dana White would be knocking on his door saying, dude, man, if you can beat a guy like Brock Lesnar, if you're that quality of an MMA fighter, how much did he give CM Punk? And CM Punk was no quality at all. He just had a name. So calm down. Matt Riddle's not beating Brock Lesnar. Matt Riddle's not beating Brock Lesnar in an MMA ring. Matt Riddle is not beating Brock Lesnar in a WWE ring. And what Matt Riddle is doing is annoying people to the point where he's going to sabotage his own career. But so far, I don't see any major, major heat on him by the powers that be, at least in NXT. Maybe in WWE, I don't know. But in NXT, I don't see that. But I do see that he runs the risk of pissing off his peers and the people who work around him because they all want those same things. It would be the equivalent of if you say, well, we're coming up for a promotion and there's 12 or 13 of us who could potentially get that promotion and we're all just going to patiently wait and see which one it is. But there's one guy who's on social media kissing his boss saying, I can do this and I can do that. And if I'm this, I'll do this and I'll do that. You'd be the first person to say, who is this brown-nosing, ass-kissing son of a bitch who's trying to jump us all and get that promotion by doing this, wouldn't you? We're all here patiently waiting. We've all agreed that whoever the boss decides, we're going to go with and support. And this idiot is writing posts on social media saying, when I am the get the promotion, I'll do this and I'll do that. You wouldn't like that guy. You'd say that guy's a creep. Well, that's what Matt Riddle's doing. He needs to calm his ass down. Someone has told him in his career, you're the next big thing. He's not. He's not. Guys who can wrestle the way Matt Riddle wrestles are a dime a dozen. Sorry. That's the truth. Not only is he not the best wrestler on the planet, he's not even the best wrestler in NXT. He's not even the fifth best wrestler in NXT. Probably not the tenth. And I believe he knows it, and that's why he's trying to jump line. Because he knows if the longer I stay here, the more I'm going to be exposed and the more these other people are going to rise. Because when guys like Tommaso Ciampa and Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano and the Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole and all these people, I'm sorry, they're all better than him. So I don't know where this is going to go. They won the Dusty Classic. There won't be a team anymore, that's for sure, I don't think. And then, well, they got to fight Undisputed Era, right? And then that'll be it. I don't think they'll win. I'll be very surprised if they take the belts away from Undisputed Era, because we're looking at Tommaso Ciampa against Adam Cole soon, as we saw on NXT, and I believe that Tommaso Ciampa will probably take that belt. And do you want the Undisputed Era with zero belts, not one? I don't know. I don't know about that. And I just don't think that Pete Dunne's future is in tag teaming. And you already know that Matt Riddle don't want his future to be in tag teaming. You already know that. So I don't know where that's going to go. Second piece of information is that Luke Harper, Brody Lee, is apparently just a very short period away from making his debut in AEW. It's all but official. And truthfully, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, okay, he's good, but, you know, is he really going to be that, oh my gosh, difference maker in AEW? He wasn't a difference maker really in WWE. So will he be a difference maker in AEW? Well, I caution everybody who says that, don't underestimate him. Because I don't think you ever really saw the best of Luke Harper in the WWE. And if Luke Harper is used properly, number one, Luke Harper is extraordinarily good on the microphone. He never really was given a chance because, unfortunately, the people he were hooked up with, especially Bray Wyatt, was at another level. So when you're with a guy who's at that level, you don't get to say much. That's just the way the ball drops. You know, so yeah, it was his misfortune to be hooked up with Bray Wyatt in that sense, that they're always going to give Bray Wyatt the mic. And then he got involved in the Bludgeon Brothers, where there was very little for them to say because they didn't want him to say anything. They were just two mean, semi-silent killers who just stalked you. But trust me when I tell you, he can use the mic. And trust me when I tell you, he can play more than just that character. And he's very, very talented in the ring. He's extremely underrated in the ring. And he's exactly the type of guy AEW really, truly, honestly needs. And that's a bigger guy who can still do some of the flippy type moves, but also has that brawling throwback to old school wrestling mentality and feel to him. He brings another dimension that AEW desperately needs. They got enough of the flippy, floppy, acrobatic guys. They got a couple of guys that are more the hardcore guys. Now they need some more of the old school guys, a la Jack Swagger, who they got over there, but they don't have a lot of them. And Brody Lee will be another one of those. So, yeah, he could make a very big difference, I think. He could be someone who draws a lot of attention for AEW, Mike.
He really could. And when we first saw him and the other guy together, who did we compare him to? We compared him to Stan Hansen and I'm blanking on the other guy's name.
Bruiser Brody.
Bruiser Brody. We compared him to Bruiser Brody. And Bruiser Brody was good on the mic. He was pretty good in the ring and all that stuff. Yeah, so they're going to get something good with him. And I believe Cody knows that. You know, Cody and Dustin know it. So, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, look, as far as Matt Riddle, in the hierarchy of MMA athletes that are in WWE right now, he's not even in top five. You know, you got, of course, Brock Lesnar. You've got Lashley, of course, and if and when he shows up, Cain Velasquez. That's your top three guys, MMA guys. So he's not even in the top five. So anyway, then. As far as the ratings go, Marcus, the biggest thing that came out of the ratings was not that they were down, was who was the highest in their time slot. The highest in their time slot was AEW, who was number three in all cable shows in that time slot, number three, whereas NXT was number 34. That's a damn knockout.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it is, but 100,000 people separated them. At the end of the day, it's still 100,000 people difference. Whether one is number one and one is number 701, if you're separated by 100,000 people, then that's what you're separated by, 100,000 people. And now I need people to think, how many of those 100,000 people already subscribe to the WWE Network and say, it doesn't matter because I'll watch NXT later. I'll watch it tomorrow. Or how many people DVR one and say, I'm watching AEW live and I'll watch NXT directly afterwards. Sometimes the ratings can fool you a little bit for that reason if they're that close. Because, Mike, at some point you have to say, how many people out of the 100,000 difference are A, subscribed to the WWE Network and will watch it later, or B, simply DVR it? That's why I said I would love to have someone ask the question of AEW and NXT fans, if one show was not on Wednesday, would you watch the other one?
Right. Yeah, and that, I would like to ask that question as well, you know, and to find out. Now, one other thing, kind of a bit of news that's out there, is that the reason why there's a rumor that the reason why Charlotte hasn't announced exactly who she's fighting is that she's going to go down to NXT and challenge Rhea Ripley, which I don't see happening, but that's a rumor out there.
That is a big rumor, and some of it's based in reality. They definitely, she is not fighting Becky Lynch from what I hear. And she's probably not fighting Bayley either. The two big rumors are this. And by the way, now it's almost been made official that Charlotte has said she's unhappy in her role in WWE. So that's something to consider. First, the Rhea Ripley thing went through, but then we have to think about this logically. Charlotte cannot afford a loss to Rhea Ripley. Period. And then Charlotte can't really be the NXT champion, so what the hell is going to happen? Then the second rumor is, based on what happened this week, Charlotte is going to say, I'm sick and tired of the Kabuki Warriors. I tried to team with Becky Lynch. That didn't work out. I tried to take them one at a time. That didn't work out. So I'm challenging. I get to challenge any champion I want. I'm challenging the Kabuki Warriors. And we're going to see a one-on-two match. Both of those things, apparently, Mike, are on the table. Neither one of them sound like a great option, really.
Neither one of them sound like a great option. But then again, what if the option is, yeah, she's going to challenge him to a one-on-two match, but she's going to find partner. You know, now,
well, I mean, if she could find a partner, would she be satisfied with that? I mean, you're talking about Charlotte Flair here, who's already said, look, I've won. She's going to look like the biggest dork if she won the Royal Rumble and challenges a tag team. She's going to look like the world's biggest dork because people are going to say, what, are you on drugs? You have the chance to be everything you say you want to be, the champion, the face of the company, the women's champion on either brand. And you decide to go after a tag team because they attacked you? You throw away your opportunity at WrestleMania to have a mid-level tag team match? That doesn't sound good. Now, if she challenges Rhea Ripley, that's a bigger match. But that's a match where you paint yourself into a corner because Rhea Ripley can't really lose that match, and neither can Charlotte. If Charlotte loses that match, and she can't even beat the NXT champion. I don't know. I don't know what's next for Charlotte. Charlotte's been very vocal in her complaints. I don't even know if they're going to be able to keep Charlotte Flair. And as we've speculated before on this show, if you think Charlotte Flair won't run immediately to AEW, you're nuts. That's exactly where she'll go. To show you, you know, AEW has always said, we're not really trying to hurt the WWE. We're not really in competition. We're just really trying to do our own thing. And if the WWE wants to do their thing, that's fine. There's room for all of us. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that for 1 minute? Because anytime someone says, I'm not really too happy, there's Tony Khan in their face with a giant contract. When Edge finally got cleared, guess who was in his face with a giant contract? Tony Khan. And Edge used that AEW interest to gain him a 3-year contract with the WWE, reportedly worth about $3 million a year for 5 matches a year. So let that sink in for a minute. $3 million a year for 5 matches. That's around, $750,000 a match. Not quite. Maybe $650,000 a match. It doesn't matter. It's more than $500,000 a match. And the WWE is forced to do it. Because what's their option? Oh, they're going to get Christian and they're going to debut him and he's going to come out and challenge Chris Jericho and people are going to be like, oh, shit. Edge is back. I'm not Christian. Edge. Edge is back and he's challenging Chris Jericho. Oh, my God. We got to go watch AEW. So don't let AEW fool you when they say they're not trying to mess with the WWE. They are very much trying to mess with the WWE. And even if Tony Khan has no real interest, he's going to make the WWE pay for whoever. It's like a guy at an auction. There's a guy at an auction, and he may not be interested in what you're bidding on, but he's going to bid you up to waste your money. And you know why he's going to bid you up to waste your money? Because then the next locker, you'll have less money to buy, or the next auction block, you'll have less money to buy. It's an old trick. Oh, we don't really want Edge, but if you want him, you're going to pay for him. We'll make him this offer, and it's a very high offer. If we do get him, fine. We'll break even or better on them. But if you want them, you're going to have to pay through the nose. And then maybe if you have to pay him $3 million a year for 3 years, you won't be able to keep this person or that person. That's the way it works. And that's the game AEW is playing. We have a fat pocketbook. We'll put out a great offer to anybody who the WWE is thinking about letting go and watch the WWE quickly say, spend more of our money. They're hoping to spend the WWE out, to which they say, we can't afford to sign any real new people anymore. We got a very heavy payroll. Now, whether Edge is worth $3 million a year for 5 matches, I don't know. I like Edge. I'm going to give you my opinion. No. And I'll tell you why I say no. Because for the next, until WrestleMania and maybe even afterwards, until SummerSlam probably at least, Edge is going to be a big deal. After that first year is over, Edge is not going to be a big deal anymore. People are going to say, I know, he's back. He's been back a year. It's cool. But you're not going to get that element of, oh, wow, Edge is here. It's going to fade. That's why Edge was very smart to take 3 years. Remember when it was Rey Mysterio? Oh, my God, Rey Mysterio's coming back to the WWE because AEW made him a huge offer. So the WWE says, well, we'll make you a huger offer. They give Rey a title for a little while. They make him a big deal for a little while. Now what? Fans aren't going crazy over Rey Mysterio anymore. They're like, okay, yeah, Rey. So, see, that's the way it works, Todd. You know, not oftentimes AEW and their big offers that they make to these wrestlers are really to just try to force the WWE to offer more.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, they're trying to offer guys like Edge, Luke Harper, contracts, and mostly Edge. And like you said, Edge denied their offer from AEW.
Well, he didn't deny it so much as the WWE, you know, opted to offer him more. I don't know why AEW offered him. I was told it could have been as much as, you know, $2 million a year. But he's getting $3 million from the WWE. So, I mean, if you're going to get $3 million, $2 million doesn't look so good by comparison. And, look, could Tony Khan have said, I'll give you $4 million, probably. And that's why I'm telling you they didn't want him that bad. Because if they wanted him that bad, then they definitely would have got him. I mean, you know, it's that's as simple as that, Mike.
It is as simple as that. You're going to tell me, let's just say, for example, Charlotte Flair is getting paid, I don't know, $100,000. You know, maybe $200,000. I don't know, because she's one of the top females in the sport. Let's say Tony Khan comes in and says, I'm going to pay you $500,000. And the WWE sees that and says, well, we can't live without her. We're going to pay her $600,000 or $700,000. That's the general thing that's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Now, well, if she's that unhappy, she's not going to take that $600,000 from the – she'll take the $500,000 before she'll take the $600,000 if she's that unhappy with the WWE, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're fed up with the WWE, then they're going to have to offer you a lot of money. I think Edge wanted to go to the WWE because he knew he'd get a sweetheart deal, and he knew he would probably get treated really, really well there, and he knew the fans were going to, you know, pop for him and all that stuff. But if you're going to give me $1 million more, then maybe I won't. It was the WWE who upped that offer, and he's got $3 million a year for 3 years, you know, for five matches a year. That's all he's contracted for. If he wrestles any more than that, they got to pay him for more. So, hey, good for Edge. Again, do I think it's worth it? Not really, but we'll see. Anyway, what AEW offer us this week? Well, John Moxley started the show. There's no doubt that the fans love John Moxley. John Moxley's become almost the face, in my opinion, of AEW. Because he was a familiar face. He was a face that was very popular with the fans. And when he moved over, it was the biggest deal. Yes, arguably Jericho was a bigger deal. But Jericho was already sporadic with the WWE. He'd come and go and... it wasn't the same thing. And he just kind of continued that momentum. And he's being given the best booking. Moxley's been given, has he lost a match? I don't think so. Moxley's been given carte blanche in AEW and been treated like gold. He's been treated like their, you know, their badass. He's their Stone Cold Steve Austin. Simple as that. He comes out this week. Of course, Y2J comes out. They're building up for their big fight. Y2J sends out a small army of people who he dispatches. The crowd is big on Moxley. Let's face it, you know. I would say him and Jericho are the 1 and 2 draw, which, again, look at the top draws here. Jericho and Moxley, both are WWE guys. Now, that's not to say that AEW hasn't started to build some of their own guys. MJF is definitely being built, and he's coming along pretty well, I think. Darby Allin is coming along pretty well, I think. There are a few guys that they're beginning to build, but I do say, and I'm going to continue to say, that a lot of the guys that they thought were going to be huge, huge, huge names, like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and stuff, they're not proven to be. The fans are not as riveted by them or taken in by them even than they are MJF, or certainly that they are Jericho or Moxley. So right now, AEW can say what they want about, well, we got, you know, 100,000 more viewers. Yeah, well, you do, but you're doing it with WWE leftovers. You're not doing it with your own guys. And that's going to eventually fade. You're going to have to build your guys. I'm telling you right now. Or you're going to be the WCW. That's what WCW did. And then eventually people got sick of it and said, it's just a bunch of WWE leftovers and I'm getting tired of it. And new fresh faces are coming into the WWE that I want to see. And these are the old guys. Well, let's face it. That's going to happen. You're going to have to start building your guys. They are trying. I'm not saying they're not trying. I'm just not sure how successful it's going to be. Is there a guy in AEW right now that wasn't a former WWE guy that can be as popular as Jon Moxley and draw that crowd in? I don't know. I know everybody told me Kenny Omega is going to be that guy. Kenny Omega, I don't see it. I don't see that. Oh, the Bucks will draw huge. I don't see that. I don't see that happening. They're putting all the eggs in the basket of Chris Jericho for the last several months, and now it's Jericho Moxley, which is again more WWE, and now they're going to enter Brody Lee here, more WWE. So for a federation run by a guy who said the WWE doesn't do things right, he certainly is taking the talent that they built and saying, well, they come prepackaged with a certain amount of name recognition. And they do. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Whereas guys like Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, they didn't really come with all that much name recognition unless you're a big fan of New Japan and you're a real stalwart wrestling fan who watches everything and reads everything. Then you know who they are. But if you're some dude flicking channels and you say, that's friggin' Dean Ambrose, that's Chris Jericho. Holy shit, that's that guy from the Wyatt family. You stumble on Kenny Omega, you're like, I don't know who that is. As simple as that. Young Bucks beat the Butcher and the Blade. It was an okay match. You know, listen, the Young Bucks are not my thing. You know, they're just not. Butcher and Blade, I think, could have been a little more than they are. They came in with a lot of fanfare, Mike, but now they're kind of just dropping matches a lot.
Right. They came up, and look, I vote with them. I always go back to the whole super kick party thing that I don't like because it lessens that move, you know. So they're just not my thing. I'd rather see more of the Hangman Page team in the Elite, but that's just me. As far as Charlotte Flair goes, she's getting paid $550,000. She's the top paid, under Ronda Rousey, she's the top paid woman in WWE. So that's her salary. Now, if Tony Khan comes in there and offers her, you know, $800,000, I don't know if the WWE is going to match that, but that's we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And as far as, you know, you're right. He is the face of the WWE. He is now the face. It was Chris Jericho for a time, but now, what's his name, is the face of AEW. Is Moxley.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and think about it. What they're calling him now, and I saw it all over the internet, they're calling him Nick Fury because of his hair, his hairstyle, and, of course, his wearing of the eye patch.
Right.
You know? So that's a gimmick. That's an interesting gimmick if they're going to play that up. Now, I don't know if they're going to play that up, but if they're going to play that up, that's an interesting gimmick.
Well, at the very least, he's playing off that injury is real. You know, in WWE, too many times, it's like, oh, my God, how did he ever survive that fall? They've killed him. And then that Sunday at the pay-per-view at 5 minutes to 11, and then at 8 o'clock, he opens up Raw on Monday night, and he's fine. They do that too much on WWE. AEW does not do that, which is good. They just told Moxley, let's sell this thing. Sell it for a while. If it really happened, it's not going to go away overnight. So let's sell that for a little while. So that's smart. Rose took on Big Swole. Look, the women's division is there's no kind way to say this. Now, Big Swole could be a star in her own, given some time. But there was very little chemistry in this match, and there was very little interest in this match, and it wasn't a good match. And too many of the women's matches in AEW aren't really – they feel very much like filler. Very much like filler. And they're going to have to correct this. I'm telling you, they're going to have to correct it. Because if anybody's ever going to switch the channel, it's going to be during these matches. Because a lot of audience reaction is just very ho-hum. So all in all, I mean, look, did AEW put on a great show? No, they did not. They put on what I consider is a solid average show. You know, a B-minus type show. Over in NXT, well, what'd we get? We got Tommaso Ciampa finally and Adam Cole guaranteed. So we're going to get that. Keith Lee found out who his challenger is going to be. It's going to be Dijakovic. I was really a little ho-hum with that, to be honest. We've seen this. I don't know why we're going back to it. Damian Priest, I don't know what to say about the guy because it's not working. And the reason it's not working is not because he's not a good wrestler or not. It's because the gimmick he's trying to do, he doesn't know how to do, and If you see a guy named Damian Priest, you're going to be thinking he's going to be a sort of a weird occult culture type person. He doesn't do that at all for me. And he's lost too many times. It's irrelevant. The Dusty Classic. Well, that was a good match. I mean, look, NXT put on an average show. I'm probably going to say that was a B minus or a B plus. So they were very close. It's not like one is blowing the other out of the water. It's not like saying, well, this show sucked and this show was fantastic. That never happens. AEW has not yet put on, in my opinion, a show that was below a C. And neither has NXT. So it's always right there in the B's, you know, the mid-B's or whatever. That's what they are. It's very close. It just really depends on what style you prefer. And if anybody over there is catching you. At this stage of the game, they're almost interchangeable. If you watch one, you're going to see a B-plus show. You watch the other one, you're probably going to see a B-plus show. So it's in the eye of the beholder. Because I know more about the NXT guys to an extent, I'm more apt to watch NXT. Again, I find myself like, okay, if Moxley's on or Chris Jericho's on, I'm probably going to watch the AEW and see what's going on. What are they doing with them? But the minute this happens with these Big Swole and Rose coming on, I'm like, I don't care. I'll watch it later. I'll watch it on the replay. And I'll watch it on the replay and say, oh, I'm glad I switched because this really was not anything that I would have been interested in. Both shows tend to have that lag at some point where if you're ever going to lose fans is where it is. And I know they say, well, we got to do that. We got to present some of our not-so-famous stars to get them famous. You're right. You can't handle every one of these shows like it's a pay-per-view. But you can at least make sure the match is good. I mean, if these people are the people that you want to be your rising stars, and you got to tell them, you got to go out there and set it on fire, my friend. You can't go out there and shit the bed and do a C-minus match. I mean, I can't continue to allow you to go out there and do C-minus matches when we have competition. If you can't rise to the level of at least a B, I can't give you the spot. We have 2 hours of TV time. Everybody's vying for their 5, 10, 15 minutes. And I can't justify giving you 5, 10 minutes if it's a C-minus effort. That's just the way it's going to have to be. Simple as that. So we saw the Dusty Classic. Like I said, we saw the end of that. That'd be an interesting match. I'm torn because I'm a huge Pete Dunne fan. I really think if there's somebody who just gets old school wrestling and can mix it a little bit with a little more modern feel, it's Pete Dunne. And I am not a Matt Riddle fan. And I was not a Matt Riddle fan before we started this nonsense. So that's even made it worse. Best match overall, I don't know, maybe Finn Balor and Trent Seven. That was good, right? There was a couple of good matches here. But again, I don't think either show, Mike, was a bad show by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think either show was a bad show either, but, you know, you did get the whole tease with Chomp and stuff, and that was an old school thing to have him do. It's to beat the crap out of the rest of the Undisputed Era. And of course, you talk about, you know, I do agree with you about AEW. They do have something with Big Swole, but again, maybe some of these women want to turn it up, but when they're put against Nyla Rose, they can't. Because either she's not that good or they're being told not to, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be the fact that she's just not that good and they don't want to make her look even worse, you know? I mean, I like Big Swole. I think she has something. I think she's one of the few in that division that does have something that you could that if you put her against possibly Charlotte Flair, that'd be a great match, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Now, we had Cody against Kip Sabian. That was fine. Britt Baker did her little speech. I guess that was fine. You know, again, SCU and Hybrid 2, which I like Hybrid 2. I've always liked Angelico. Since his days in Lucha Underground, I said, I don't know why people are not signing that guy. I don't know. Not only is he really, really, really good in the ring, but he has a presence about him that made a very odd tag team, three-way tag team, mixed three-way tag team, really interesting. Really, really interesting. So I'm glad to see him. Again, AEW put on a perfectly good show. If you're a huge AEW fan, I'm sure you're going to say it was A-, B-plus show. I say it was just a B. But I don't think NXT blew him away either. I think NXT put on probably a B show. There were elements that were better than that, absolutely. But there were elements that were a lot worse. So we average it out to just about a B. So now I think the lines are drawn and people are clearly seeing that you're going to get around 700,000 to 800,000 views on a typical NXT. So if they do 715 to 790 or 780, that's typical. That's average. AEW is going to do right around that, 850 to 900 and some. And that's what they're going to do. If AEW dips below 700, it's a disaster for them. If NXT dips below 600, it's a disaster for them. Neither one's doing that. So it's a case where both people are doing fine. The difference really in 100,000 people when it comes to television is kind of like you saying, well, I make $24 an hour and my coworker makes $24.50. Okay. Well, you're basically the same. He's 50 cents higher. He's bringing home a few extra bucks at the end of the week. The only trouble is, if he just started 6 months ago and you've been there a few years, it's not about how much more. It's just the fact that it is more. You understand what I'm saying? If you're at a job for 4 years and the new guy's making 50 cents more than you, that's going to burn you. Not because you want the 50 cents so much, but because you feel, how can that possibly be? So, whereas it's really not a big deal. The TV stations are both happy with these ratings. It's not a big deal to the TV stations. USA is perfectly happy. They're smiling. Trust me. USA Network's smiling. Vince McMahon is not smiling. Triple H is not smiling because they're the guys that have been there longer and they shouldn't be making less money than the guy who just started. And, figuratively speaking, and that's kind of the example I just gave. So even if NXT was to lose by 50,000, it's still kind of insulting. 30,000, it's still kind of insulting. They want to win. I could argue that if NXT won by 50,000, it's still a victory for AEW. They're the new guy on the block. But to flat out win every week by 100,000 people, while, again, to the TV stations, that's not much. That's not going to change advertising dollars. 100,000 extra people is not changing advertising dollars much. So the networks are happy. It's the Federation itself. It's the WWE itself, Mike, that has the egg on its face.
Right. That's the thing now. Like you said, Vince McMahon may say he doesn't care, but believe me, he cares. Did he say that he didn't care when AEW, when WCW was consistently beating them in that 83-week streak? No, he didn't say he didn't care. just went workmanlike at it, trying to get better, you know, which gave us the attitude era. But anyway, you know, that's the point.
Well, I think Vince's point is this. Vince's point is they're not coming close to beating Raw. They're not coming close to beating SmackDown. Those are my babies. They've been here longer, and I'm blowing them out of the water with both of those by a million people. So it's not close. It's not even in the same universe. So I'm fine. It's Triple H who should be burned a little bit. It's Triple H because Triple H has been the guy since almost day one-ish, to borrow a phrase, who has said the future of the WWE and the future of professional wrestling in this brand is NXT in the style I'm doing. The way I'm booking people, the way I'm booking matches, the way these people are being trained to do a match, their talents, their ring work, their ethic, this is what the future of professional wrestling is, and eventually the WWE will become this when I get my hands on it. And he can't outdraw AEW. So now if I'm Vince McMahon and I'm saying, look, Triple H, you're the one who said this is the future. You're the one who said one day this is what the WWE will be. We're drawing 2 million viewers. You're drawing 700,000. You can't even beat AEW. If you can't even beat AEW, how do you think that your model for what the WWE should be like is correct? Again, let me take that as an example. If you work in a factory where they make, I don't know, ice cream. And you say, well, I want my own little brand offshoot of your brand. And mine are going to be these unique flavors, you know, triple chocolate, caramel salted licorice. And for a while, all the niche ice cream people are buying this up. And you're saying, look, see, we started a trend here. No, we're not outselling your major brand, but eventually these unique flavors are going to come along. And another ice cream company comes along and says, we're going to do niche flavors too. And they start outselling you 10 to 1. Then your boss is going to turn to you and say, wait a minute. I thought you were the king of these niche flavors. Apparently you're not. Well, Triple H, I thought you were the king of this independent style. Indie style, you know, federation. Apparently not, because Cody's federation's blowing you out of the water. So if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm saying Triple H, I have no faith that if you brought your style and we did the whole WWE in your vision, that it's going to do better, because I'm drawing 2 million. You're drawing 650,000, 700,000. So Todd, that's something to consider. I mean, right now NXT is not able to beat even AEW on a face-to-face basis. 17 weeks in, they've won one time.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they should have, like, we should have said they should go out on the road more often and they get more run of view and more ratings and everything and more bigger attendance, try to beat AEW, but they stay at one location.
Yeah, it would be interesting. They're going to have to do something like that. You're absolutely right about that. At some point in time, if NXT wants to grow, they can't just ride the ass of WWE and say, well, the night before pay-per-view, we're going to have our chance and we're going to put on a better one. That's fine. That's great. But at some point, some guy in Des Moines, Iowa wants to see you. Some guy in Chicago wants to see you. Some guy in New York wants to see you. They want to go to your live events. They want to, you know, participate. And you're not allowing it because you're just staying one place, Full Sail. So unless you're there, unless you're within driving distance of Full Sail, or you want to make a special trip down, it's not for everybody. At least AEW is changing locations and changing cities and changing places. So there, if you don't do that pretty soon, and I know that Triple H says, well, we got the granddaddy of them all, though. We can put these guys on Raw anytime we want. We can put these guys on SmackDown anytime we want and reach 2 million people. I get it. That's great for TV. But at some point, you're going to have to introduce NXT to different cities and things. You're going to have to. Now, you've done it a few times. They came up here once or twice. And full disclosure, They were literally putting themselves into buildings that maybe held 1,500 people. Maybe held 1,500 if they sold every seat in the house. Maybe. That's not big. That's not big at all. So if you have no confidence, see, here's the thing I don't understand. When Triple H gets out there and says this is the future of wrestling, well, you have no confidence that that's true, though. If it's the future of wrestling, how come you can't draw 1,500 people? If it's the future of wrestling, how come you can't be AEW in the ratings? Now, I'm not saying I prefer NXT, so I'm not trying to knock NXT in any way, shape, or form. I prefer them. But the facts are the facts, and the numbers are the numbers. And I'm promising you that if AEW came to a local civic center here, they would sell out in 2 hours. And I'm telling you right now that NXT did not sell out the night of the event because I checked. So you're going to have to start doing a lot more legwork and groundwork when it comes to making these guys known to more than just WWE fans. Don't believe me? Well, look, Keith Lee was a big secret, wasn't he? Myself, Todd, a few other of my friends, we're sitting there watching Keith Lee. Maybe there's 100 people in the audience. There's four rows of chairs. And I'm saying, how come nobody knows about this guy? Where did this guy come out of that nobody knows who he is? He's absolutely amazing. So he goes on to NXT, and people are like, holy shit, where'd this guy come from? Same thing. Well, they're going to say the same thing in the WWE if you get him out on the road and show people what he can do. But if he's just going to sit in NXT at Full Sail, he's just going to sit there and play to the same audience over and over again, same faces. It's not like you say, oh, my God, it's different people every week. No, it's not. It's the same exact people. You see the same people in the front rows. They're the same people. You're preaching to the choir. You know, it's like having a play and your family shows up and, oh, we'll show up every time you have the play. And okay, well, that fills a lot of seats. They become more like your family, not just your fans. So, okay, fine. You got a group of people who say this is our exclusive little fight club. Well, you need more than that. If you're going to be serious about taking on AEW and you're going to be serious about NXT being the future of wrestling, you got to take them on the road. You got to introduce them. I don't care if you don't sell out 1,500. Maybe next time you will. But the bottom line is you got to get them out there. And if you're afraid, you know, oh, well, that's a lot of money. Well, stop giving Edge $3 million for five matches. And start doing some groundwork on laying the future of NXT before AEW tramples them completely, Mike.
Right. And think about this. AEW, before it was AEW, what happened? You know, that those first two shows sold out 10,000 seat arenas, right?
Yeah, they correct? Did.
You know?
Yes.
And now they're basically doing the same thing as a legitimate company. You know, AEW is going into 10,000 seat arenas and better. Selling them out, they're coming close. All right. Now you may say it's a new thing and people want to see it, but they're still doing it. Whereas, like you said, NXT goes to these little arenas, and the only way they sell them out is if they have a draw like I don't know, Enzo. You know.
Yeah. Well, look. Here's the deal. At least AEW, and there's no question. AEW sold out 10,000 seats arenas, and whether you say Tony Khan bought all the tickets or not, at the end of the day, it didn't matter because the fans were there. And yes, they struggled. They went to other cities, and they, you know, we saw pictures of 8,000-9,000 seat arenas, an eighth full. But at least they tried. And, you know, their attitude is, okay, well, we went to this 8,000 seat arena and we sold 3,000 tickets. Maybe next time we'll sell four. Maybe next time we'll sell six. But at least we got there. At least we showed people this is what we got. And the next time we come, maybe this place will be full or fuller. They weren't ashamed to say, yeah, we didn't draw that well in this particular area. But hey, maybe next time. At least we introduced ourselves and got it out in front of the fans to show what we have. NXT's afraid to do that. It's almost like they're saying, well, yeah, but we don't want – what happens if we don't sell out? Then we look like idiots. No, you don't. I guarantee you if NXT goes to some small place in Minnesota, they're probably not going to sell out because people don't know them that well. But you got to try. At the end of the day, you have got to try to make this a little more widespread than Full Sail University every freaking time. You want to do your TV tapings there, by all means, do your TV tapings there. If you love it there and you think that's the perfect building for your TV tapings, I disagree, but if that's what you want to do, good for you. Do your TV tapings there, but take them out on the road. Do a few shows here and there. You don't have to be on the schedule of the WWE by any stretch of the imagination. But can't you do a couple of shows a month? Can't you hit a couple of areas? Can't you say we're going to hit the Northeast, you know, for the next couple of months here and there sporadically, we're going to hit the Northeast, then we're going to do the Midwest, then we're going to do the, you know, the coast. And you can't do that? I think you can. And I think you better. Because if you think just bringing up the WWE and having, you know, Matt Riddle tossed out of the Royal Rumble like an idiot for just standing there going, yo, man, bro, oops, I got thrown out. People are like, who's that idiot? See, that's the thing. You're wasting talent. There's a lot of people there who knew who Matt Riddle was, but there's an awful lot of people who didn't. And their first impression of that guy is, who's that idiot? He's a nobody. Got in there like a dumbass and got his stupid dumbass thrown out. Might as well be Santino Marella in drag, right? That's what you can't do. And then there were people who saying, well, I don't know who this Keith Lee guy is, but whoa, him and Brock Lesnar went nose to nose. That is a big dude, man. And Brock looked a little intimidated by him, to be honest. And he was giving Brock, okay, well, then you got to strike while the iron's hot. You can't say, yeah, we dangled Keith Lee in front of you like a carrot. And probably in the next 2.5 years, you'll see him in WWE. Well, they're going to forget. They're going to forget that. I know what everyone's thinking. Well, they're going to say, who was that guy? Let's go watch NXT. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, who was that guy and why isn't he in WWE? You want the truth, what the best move is? If I was in charge of it all, I would send some of the guys I wasn't using or using well to NXT. At least they have a name. Kevin Owens says he wants to go there. Go. Tell Kevin Owens that's great. Go. Kevin Owens' name on a card is going to assure that there's going to be some people who's going to buy tickets, just like Finn Balor. You don't have nothing for, you know, some of these guys? Hey, send them down. If they have any kind of a name. Any kind of a name. You're stumbling all over. We don't know what to do with Cesaro. We don't know what to do. Send them down. Don't know what to do with Chad Gable? Send them down. The more people that you can send down, isn't that what AEW is doing? They're taking your leftovers. They're introducing them in a new way and saying, oh, look who we got. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh. You didn't have anything to do with Luke Harper? You couldn't have sent him down to NXT? You couldn't have signed a contract and said, hey, you want to go down to NXT and do some things, and then later you could be a trainer or whatever? He probably would have went for that. That's a big name. People would have been like, oh, we know what he can do. That's great. You're letting AEW take advantage of it when you've got the perfect opportunity to do it with NXT. Perfect opportunity. Somebody's not doing well. You know, they're floundering. You don't really have – creative has nothing for them. Send them down. It's not even down. Just send them over. It's not like they're being demoted to the minor leagues, for God's sake. Half of them would rather be there. So you just tell them, look, right now we don't have anything for you. We're going to send you to NXT for a while, and if the creative comes up with something for you, we're bringing you back up. That's just the way it is. You have the perfect system to rotate your wrestlers. You have the perfect system to do it. And instead, you're letting them become unhappy, releasing them, and letting AEW become their new home rather than rotating them where they're happy. You think fans in NXT wouldn't give Cesaro a huge ovation if he came in there and was really lighting things up? You don't want to see Cesaro against Adam Cole? You don't want to see Cesaro against Tommaso Ciampa? You don't want to see Cesaro against Johnny Gargano? Come on! You don't think that'd draw? You don't think if Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Chad Gable, a couple other names that you're not really doing much with is all on an NXT card along with Keith Lee and Adam Cole and these, you don't think that's going to draw some fans? I do. I absolutely do. Charlotte Flair is unhappy. Let her go to NXT. Absolutely. You want to go down to NXT? God bless you. You and Rhea Ripley can have the mother of all friggin' feuds for the next 3 months. And then when we need you again, we'll call you back up, and it'll be, oh, Charlotte Flair's fresh again in the WWE Raw eyes or SmackDown eyes or wherever you want to bring her. So they have the perfect formula for rotating their wrestlers, Mike, and they're just not using it.
They just, again, they have some things that they can do, but they just choose not to use it. And it's not just this. It's just about everything, you know, and that. And as far as AEW goes, think about this versus NXT. Think about this. You're watching the AEW show, and at some point during that show, you're going to have either Tony Schiavone or Jim Ross say, oh, AEW is going to be in Madison, Wisconsin on this date, or in Albany, New York in this date, or in Miami, Florida on this date. And they eventually go there, but that they advertise where they're going to be on where they're going to have house shows or TV tapings or whatever. And why can't NXT do that if they're going to go out on the road? Why can't they do that?
They absolutely can. I'm telling you, it makes me feel like they're afraid. And even when NXT comes to another town, like for instance, Poughkeepsie, New York isn't too far from me. They come to Poughkeepsie, New York once in a while. But what they do, which is maddening, is they'll say, well, we have like two or three top people. Maybe they're going to have Tommaso Ciampa there. Maybe they're going to have, you know, at when he wasn't hurt, the Velveteen Dream there. Maybe they're going to have Shayna Baszler. And then the rest of them are like, well, these are really guys who they're just kind of testing out. Well, you can't do that. You got to put on your A show when you go. You can have an opening match or two, but you can't have a card filled with who are those guys? I never see them on TV. Who are they? You can't do that and say, well, maybe Shayna Baszler and Adam Cole will just sell it out for us. Well, they don't. They don't. So you're going to have to bring it, you know, you're going to have to bring your A game. But I guarantee you, if you added one or two wrestlers, if you said, well, on tonight's, you know, NXT and Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, Kevin Owens is going to take on Adam Cole. Finn Balor is going to take on Cesaro. Well, it's going to be sold out. And then guess what happens? You're sitting there watching the opening match saying, I can't wait for the big matches I came to see. And you're like, who's that person? He's really good. I like that guy. See, that's what happens to me a lot. I'll go to wrestling matches, and the match we went to see Keith Lee, that wasn't a feature match. I didn't know who Keith Lee was. That was like third match in the card. And I'm saying, I don't know who that guy is, but I'd like to see more of him. That's how it works. But if you advertised Keith Lee is taking on Joe Smith, I'm like, I don't know who Keith Lee is, and I don't know who Joe Smith is, so I'm not going. At some point, you have to have the draw to get the fans in to see the people that later on are going to be the draw. You may know who they are. You may say, well, they're great. Okay, great, but I don't know who they are. So if you want to introduce them to me, give me somebody I know who it is. So even if you said, look, Kevin Owens is taking on Finn Balor in a bitter feud here that they're having in NXT. And on the card, we're also going to see, you know, this guy and this guy and this guy. And I don't know who them guys are. But then I go to see it because I want to see Balor and KO. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I like those guys. I want to see more of those guys. Look what happened to me with Pete Dunne. I didn't know one single person, not one, except maybe I knew one. I knew Mark Andrews in that initial UK tournament they had. I didn't know any of those guys. But I said, well, you know, it's going to be a special thing. I'll watch it and see what ends up happening. And I came away from there saying, oh, man, that Pete Dunne. That was my big takeaway from that UK tournament as well. I don't know who this Pete Dunne guy is, but wow, I'm real impressed with him. And now look, my takeaway when I went down to an independent show to see Gangrel was, I don't know who that Keith Lee guy is, but wow. And now look where he is. See, this is what I'm saying. So if NXT is going to do this, get a few names then. If you feel your names won't draw that you have now, and I agree with you, I don't think they will. Add one or two. You have a roster full of people we never see. Ever. You're doing nothing with Ricochet. Nothing. Don't tell me you have something for Ricochet. I see nothing in his future. Where is he going? You're going to have a big feud with fill in the blanks. I don't see it. Send him back down there. By now, a lot of fans know who he is. He'll draw. Kevin Owens says he's not super happy. He'd love to go to NXT for a little while. Send him. I'm sure Cesaro would be chomping at the bit to go. Send him. Send these guys. They got name recognition. The Revival's unhappy. Ask him, do you want to go back to NXT? We won't cut your pay or nothing. Go back to NXT. If you like it better down there, that's a draw. That'll draw. Fans remember who they are. Instead, they just release them. Oh, we don't know. The Ascension were draws in NXT. People love the Ascension. They came up here, they shit the bed. And instead of saying, go back to NXT where you guys can actually help us draw, no, we'll just release you. So you can help somebody else draw. It's dumb. Don't let somebody else capitalize off the name you made for them. You're the ones who made the name for them, and now you're going to release them so other people can use the benefits of your work? Todd, that's silly.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's silly. Like you said, with the Revival, they're not happy. Send them back to NXT. They're probably much happy down there, and at least they draw down there as well.
And now they draw more because WWE fans would know who they were. So if you went on tour, let's argue for a minute and say NXT's going on tour. And they need to draw WWE fans because a lot of WWE fans that might come don't really watch NXT. And we know that's true because if there's 2 million watching Raw and SmackDown and there's 700,000 watching NXT, you're short 1,300,000 fans. So there's a lot of WWE fans that don't watch it. They don't know who Adam Cole is. They don't know who Bobby Fish is. They don't know who Keith Lee is. They know who Finn Balor is. That they know. They know who Kevin Owens is. They'll know who Cesaro is. They'll know who The Revival is. They'll know who The Ascension was. They'll know that. So how come you can't send them guys down there and say, we're going to mix it all in when we go on tour, and that's enough to draw? If you're going to tell me Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Cesaro, and The Revival, just those four talents, can't sell out a 1,500-seat arena if you book them right, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. Because if tomorrow Kevin Owens was going to do an autograph signing session, there would be close to 1,500 people there. If Bobby Fish is, I don't know. See, that's the problem. It's not that he's a bad wrestler. It's not that he's... You know, I'm not knocking him at all. I'm just saying the name recognition isn't there. That's why when you go on tour, you're not selling out 1,500 seats because the name recognition isn't there. And adding one guy, adding Finn Balor, that's fine, but that's not enough. You have the perfect rotation system. It's like a store. If the store stocks their shelves and they never rotate the stock, ever, you end up looking right by it after a while. Your eye doesn't focus on new stuff because you're like, I know this. There's no point in me looking here. I never find anything here I want. But if they rotate their stock once in a while, you're always looking around for fresh things. And shit that was on the bottom shelf that you never saw before now is on the middle shelf at eye level, and you're like, oh, I'd like to have that. That's the nature of the beast. So if you got some guys on the bottom shelf of Raw, how come you don't bring them to the middle shelf of NXT and let them shine a little bit so fans can see what they can do? When's the last time you used Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder? How come they can't go down there? They've gotten themselves over pretty good. You know, they got millions of subscribers on their YouTube channel. So you're not going to tell me that, you know, they won't draw a little bit. They're not going to sell out 1,500-seat arena just on their own name, but they're certainly going to add to the, oh, and those guys are going to be there too. Cool. There's plenty of things they could do, Mike, if they really wanted to.
Right. I mean, think about it. You know, you got the former 3MB store that for a time he was doing the whole I Got Kids thing, and you're telling me if you sent him down to NXT that he would draw?
Yeah, of course they would. Of course they would. So it's going to come down to this, folks. Is NXT going to take this summer to introduce NXT to the world, or are they going to set in their own little small pond at Full Sail and say, this is good enough for us? If it is, AEW is free to take over, because AEW is not going to do that. They're going to come around and they're going to introduce themselves to everybody in all the states they can possibly get into. It's like a presidential campaign. If a president hits all 50 states, then his name recognition is going to be a hell of a lot higher than if he just stays in his home state and says, you like me here, right? It's not enough. So when NXT says, we want to be our own brand, well, Raw tours, SmackDown tours. It might be time NXT decided to shit or get off the pot. Anyway, we'll see what happens on SmackDown tonight. We'll be back here on Super Bowl Sunday to tell you about it. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.